So hello and welcome to the very first MotoGP podcast, last on the brakes of, I nearly said 2023, but no, 2024. And we have as our very first guest of the season, a familiar face, but also representing a completely new team. So we've got two exciting subjects here. It's Davide Brivio, the team principal of Trackhouse Racing. So hi. Davide, we'll start with the easiest question possible. How are you?
Yeah, hi to everybody, first of all, and thanks for the invitation.
Thanks for accepting it.
It's an honor to be the first one so of the year. So.
I think you ended the 2021 season of the podcast as well.
No, 2020 was my last
or 2020?
Year.
2020, yeah. Okay,
2020,
yeah,
when we won the championship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was the glorious...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we'll get onto that and explain to fans who maybe don't know you enough.
Was supposed to be a great story, no? We won a championship, then I left MotoGP, but then I'm back.
You are back. But yeah, how are you then at this?
Yeah,
very
no,
first?
I'm well, thank you, and very happy to be back in a place where you know I spent many years, and I know everybody. Also, it's been very nice. During the testing and also in these days to be, I felt like welcomed by everybody. And so, yeah, happy to be here and quite exciting for the new adventure that of course we're gonna talk, but it's something different.
It is indeed, yeah. It's if everyone doesn't know, how could you have missed the incredible flag livery that we saw at the very first team announcement? Full Murica as much as possible. But yeah, we will talk about the new team, Trackhouse, and this new adventure with Aprilia as well. First though, want to give fans who might be newer or don't know you, I know they should do.
Okay, yeah.
What's your kind of career till now? What's your journey? You've worked with some very big names in the sport. Like we said, you had some very recent success here as well before you went away and then came back. What do they need to know about Davide Brivio to understand how you
But
here?
I think one thing is like, I always been passionate about motorcycle racing. And when I was young, I was dreaming to work in the motorcycle racing, to do something in the racing. So for me, I can say it's kind of a dream came true. And of course, when I was young, I was thinking maybe to be a mechanic, working in a team.
Were you wanting to be a rider at any point, or was it more?
Yeah, I did. I tried with a motocross. That was an important step because I raced a few races in motocross when I was young at the regional level, but I was very bad. So
we value that honesty highly.
There was no way I could be a rider. So that's why I thought having this passion, I thought I have to find something else to be involved in the racing, and that's how things started. So, and I think lucky enough, very lucky to be able to enter into the racing world, and of course, I had great moment, and so yeah, very happy.
Can you give us your greatest hits so far in MotoGP?
Yeah, of course. I think winning the World Championships and especially the first World Championship with Valentino was something incredible because at that time was Yamaha coming from 12 years without winning any championship. We tried to get Valentino joining us, and winning the championship the first year was something incredible. But also it was great, I think, what you have done with Suzuki. Because when I started to work with Suzuki, it was 2013. And basically in Japan, they were developing the bike, they were designing the bike, building the bike, creating the bike. But there was nothing as far as concerned the logistic, the team, the organization. So we really started from a white paper. So making a list, okay, what we need to buy. We need to buy the trucks, we need to buy this, we need to hire people and everything. And so we started to race in 2015, and to win the championship after 6 years has been an incredible achievement. I mean, of course, I was very happy. And it's something that, so maybe these two are probably the greatest moment, but of course I had many, many more, yeah, for sure.
It's been a very illustrious career, for sure. I think, I mean, when you just say the first championship with Valentino, little bit casual about it. It was one of the biggest moments, I think, that switch from Honda to Yamaha for Valentino, the success there. It was.
Yeah, that was great because, I mean, in reality, at the time, we were winning the championship, but we're really enjoying going racing. So it was fun. I mean, you would have done, like, for hobby, you know, you would have done. And somehow it's interesting because what I learned from Valentino, of course, many things, but I think he brought winning mentality into Yamaha, where the second position was like a failure in some point. In some season was really very sad. Everybody sad to be second. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that you can be very professional, you can work very professional when you are in the garage, it's time to race. But also you can enjoy, like you can go dinner and joke and you don't have to be always serious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in a good way, no?
So and you both, can be, you can be. It actually helps.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It helps a lot. You can be very professional when it's time to be professional. You have meetings, you have practice, you have racing. And then when it's finished, you can enjoy and you can
celebrate your wins with the bathroom break.
Exactly. You can
have a bit more fun.
You can have a good time, you say. So
exactly.
That's what's interesting to see.
So then, obviously, from that end of that chapter with Suzuki, you left us, you betrayed us, no. You left us and you went to Four Wheels for a little while. So we've got two fan questions kind of on this topic. So we'll have another couple at the end that are more general. But the first one from Haldog46, what was the biggest factor in your decision to return to MotoGP? Is it the project, the team, the opportunity, the
Aprilia
independent team, the regulations close?
Yeah, let's say, to be very honest, it didn't work as I was expected and as probably Alpine expected, where I was, the team expected. Because I worked the first year, I was working in the team, in the Formula One team. I needed to build up my experience. I needed to get in to understand things. But so this didn't really work. So then I had for the following years, I took care of the driver academy because there is a great young
it's
drivers
strong,
program,
yeah.
Which is something interesting also to look for the MotoGP. And then I was working for a new project. So there was I worked for several months to prepare the Dakar project. The Renault Group will enter into Dakar with Dacia in 2025. So then I started the work, preparing budget, trying to see how the organization, and then the project started. Then we were supposed also to, we investigated and I worked to try to get Renault into WRC with an electric car, but didn't work because the regulation doesn't allow that. And so then by last year, there were no more new projects to work on. I was following the driver academy. So my ambition or my desire would be to be more involved in a racing team. So to be more in the action. So on the track, the racing, the rider, the drivers, the team staff, engineers, things like that. So it was impossible there. So then I thought, let's try to go to let's try with MotoGP, but not, I mean, it's not like something, it's where I had, of course, good moment. I had a lot of fun. But of course, when I decided it, I had nothing. So when I decided to try, it was like a bet, you know? So like I say, okay, I try to make myself available and see if maybe there is an opportunity coming
like
up.
You could have turned up this weekend and just walked down the paddock with your CV. And probably by the end.
No, you're very kind, but you know, you never know. So then, I got a call from Trackhouse, and then I thought, okay, we're gonna talk, but it's something special, I think, this project. And so I say, okay, yeah, that's a good opportunity. Very happy to be back in the action.
It is in the action, and obviously it's quite a quick kind of birth for the Trackhouse Racing team. And now we're here on track, ready to race. Sorry to use the KTM tagline. It's also a great phrase. But no, it's very exciting now. We have obviously American team. The bike looks beautiful with the colors. Miguel, lots of experience. Oh, we've known a proven rider, always race winner. Raul as well, looked very strong in testing. We've seen those flashes of like, oh, it's clicked. And then just little things, injuries, a crash here or there got in his way. But now we're here. We're about to start. How are you feeling from your position within the team?
Yeah, it's a very exciting the project.
Sorry, that was the longest question in the world.
Yeah. what's happened is that everything happened so quickly because as we say, Trackhouse was, let's say, in Trackhouse mind, in Justin mind, was to start this project in 2025. Then, of course, everybody, we know there was an opportunity to jump since now, which Trackhouse decided to do. But of course, everything was rushing. But despite that, and still there are things that need to be set up, need to be finalized.
Refined,
yes. And we're working, I mean, with the team, with all the guys in the team, we're working on that. But even though the project is, I think, very well built. I mean, it has very well, very good base, because as we say, we have two strong riders, very talented. Also, Miguel will start immediately with the 2024 machine, so that's promising, seems to be an improvement. Raul will stay for the first part of the season with 2023, but he felt very comfortable during the last test, so he's very
quite good.
Yeah,
on the time,
he's very happy. So, from our point of view, we have both cars to play. So, whatever one bike or the other. So, the 23, of course, is very well known. It's already been developed. It's already the 24 still room of improvement, but we can work on that. So, two strong rider, good bikes, and also I already say, but to be in Aprilia now, I think is a good position as a manufacturer because, of course, everybody's trying to challenge Ducati. And Aprilia is one of the best challenger of Ducati. So very exciting to see where we can arrive, what we can do. And so despite we need to refine things, but I think we are in a good position and we will try to do our best. The most important thing that is inside the garage, we have the bikes, we have the rider, we have the team, the engineers, the mechanics working. So we were. Then we try to refine
just the details
behind the scenes. Yes.
So we'll know what's going on when you put the boards up outside the garage. Refinement is happening.
Yeah.
But so talk to us then about being, obviously you were with the factory Yamaha team, factory, I nearly said Aprilia, Suzuki. Now Aprilia, obviously across the grid now, it's a very, very strong relationship between the majority of factories and independent teams, from some that are almost exactly the same, everything. Obviously, at Trackhouse, like you say, you'll eventually have two 2024 machines for both, and Miguel will start on the 2024. How does it work for fans who don't understand or maybe want to know a bit better behind the scenes, the relationship with Aprilia and the factory when you're racing their bikes?
Yeah, also for me, it's a new situation because
right?
I always work with the factory, but also it's a new situation, but also I think a kind of special. I feel like Trackhouse, a kind of a special project somehow, because it's an independent team. We have, I think there is an ambitious target, which is, of course, we have a very good relationship with Aprilia, and this is something we want to reinforce as much as possible. But also we would like to have our own, let's say, identity or our own ideas.
I think at least the flag you've already planted.
You can tell something. Yeah, and so great relationship with Aprilia, use all the full technical potential that Aprilia will make us available, but also try to give our input, our stamp on a project in some things. So We will see, but we try to build also a good base as a team itself, and then use the technical material that we will get from Aprilia.
And they, of course, will also be using, I guess, all the data and everything. That's a big incentive for a factory to have an independent team,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, of course, from technical point of view, it's a full cooperation. Of course, all the data are available, and actually we have Aprilia engineer working in our garage and working between them. So from technical point of view, there is maximum cooperation, and everything is open. And and also I think it's the way I see Aprilia really, really committed also to our team. Like, of course, there's two factory riders. There is Alex and Maverick, and then Miguel and Raul in our team. But I really got the feeling that Aprilia will be happy regardless who can get onto the top. So that we feel we have in a great support. There's not so big, of course, competition on the track, but not so big difference between factory team. And what we would like to do is to bring this situation more and more to have, regardless you are in track house or you are in Aprilia, for the riders to create kind of, that should be the same, you know, or nothing less, let's say.
That makes perfect sense. So one more fun question now, and it does go back to, sorry, your foray into Formula One, recent one anyway. What did you learn there that could be helpful to improve in MotoGP? Mm. Is there anything specific?
Maybe nothing specific, but many, many things. I mean, first of all, the reason why I accepted to go in Formula One is like I was curious, mainly. I was curious to see and to understand how the Formula One team works. How is it possible that they had, at the time, 800 people just to build two chassis to race with two cars? There's more than 1,000 people in Renault. It was like Renault Alpine is like 1,300 people working for racing two cars. And I'm very grateful to Alpine that gave me this possibility. It was a great experience, which I'm happy I have done, despite it didn't go as I wanted, but from professional point of view, I could see another world, great people, great engineers, great way to work. And so there were some idea that maybe when I was in MotoGP, I was thinking like some way to organize the garage, the engineer team, how they work, which I saw there realized. And so there are some idea that you can take like inside the garage, how the team works, how the mechanics work, how the engineer interact between them. And also it was interesting to see also from the organization point of view, from the promoter point of view, how they manage the championship, how is the relationship between the teams, promoter with the teams, between the, I mean, good and bad, okay? It's not, there are positive and there are negative, but it's interesting to see everything. And I'm not in favor to say, I mean, sometimes we say, okay, maybe we have to look at the Formula One. It's not like a copy and paste, but I think there are a few ideas that which we could be inspired by, and we can maybe transfer something here. But there is also something that in Formula One they think is good in MotoGP, and oh, that's better in MotoGP, you know? So
maybe
it's very interesting if
somewhere.
the two worlds talk together. But probably on top of that, other than maybe I've seen how the team work in between them, how the organizer work, the garage, all those things I said, it's also, I think I came back with maybe a different mindset somehow. Different approach. I don't know how to explain, but maybe more focus on priorities, less on details. It's difficult to explain, but maybe, okay, the priority, what is? To win races, succeed, okay. What do you need to do? you need to do those things. Before, was much more taking care of maybe details or more what the people say, what the people think. It's important, but try to go more straight to your target, you know? Be more focused on what's the target and give priorities to what is important. So maybe this is one small lesson.
Mindset.
Yeah,
okay,
different mindset, yes.
Also, I'm sorry, I should say who that was from. That was from Sanek Rafal. I didn't give them a shout out for the question. Thank you for the question. Thank you for the answer as well. So that's interesting then. So now then, you're in a new environment for you as well. American, obviously the majority of teams in the paddock are very multinational, but American flag, American ownership, it's great to see that back in the paddock after obviously there's been some incredible racing heritage. This year we're celebrating the 75th anniversary, and if you go back through those 75 years we've already raced until this point, there are a lot of American successes. How does that feel for you, and how is it maybe different in that? Is there a different vibe? Are you kind of...
I mean, first of all, let's say, for Trackhouse was not so difficult to convince me, because I always been very fascinated to the American sports. I like a lot Supercross, follow NBA when I can, and also I always been very also interested to NASCAR racing, IndyCar a bit. I don't follow so much when I can, but I always like it. The way that the Americans manage the sport, they do the sport, they follow the sport. Of course, it's a big country. It's like European, always speaking the same language, always with the same president and whatever. So it's this compared to us that we are split in many countries. But so always been fascinating, and then I had the opportunity to go there to visit Trackhouse early in February when they called me. Yeah, in Charlotte, yes. All the NASCAR team are in Charlotte area. And I mean, it's a serious racing team, you know. Of course, it's a successful team. Actually, Trackhouse won a race in Atlanta just a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago. So it's a successful team. With like 100 staff member, and so they know racing. So Trackhouse knows what racing team is not. Trackhouse is new for MotoGP, but it's not new on the racing environment. So that's positive.
And they had success really quickly as well.
Yeah. Because also last year won a few races with both drivers. So. And Trackhouse is very much committed on working in the sport, of course trying to do good business with the sport, but to do Trackhouse is called Trackhouse Entertainment Group, so the entertainment is important, and now they Trackhouse is very much interested into the MotoGP, to try to understand more the MotoGP, to know the MotoGP, and. Of course, we want to try to maybe take the best from the both world. For instance, there is something in the NASCAR that they're not doing same as MotoGP, and they look at the MotoGP, oh, it would be nice to do this, it would be nice to have that. And maybe we can take something from them experience. So I'm very curious and interested to see how we can, both worlds, we can benefit from each other. Trackhouse MotoGP, how we can benefit from Trackhouse NASCAR, and the opposite. So I'm working also quite close with the, let's say, the NASCAR guys, and we chat and we talk, and I think it's interesting. Also, I mean, even from personal point of view, I'm very interested to understand more and more NASCAR. I want to go to see a race as soon as possible, and try to see what we can pick up, and the same for them. So
the kind of the brand seems a little bit like exactly what you said before about professional, but also that entertainment, that fun, that kind of just not that straight face.
Yeah.
Okay, win, done the business, go home. But it seems like a great kind of whole environment.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, it's a Trackhouse is a successful team. I mean, race winner in US. And when I went to visit the team in Charlotte, It was so funny. I mean, the team guys, they were very funny and welcome, joking, and a great atmosphere, a really great atmosphere. This is something, Polistar, we have to bring here.
Hopefully we'll get a little taste of that when we get a bit geographically closer this year.
So overall, very exciting and very, very curious to see, to understand and to learn from everything. And so also, in America, maybe from marketing and communication point of view, our NASCAR team is quite active and trying to do good things. So we try to bring that also in MotoGP. Let's see. I don't want to create too much expectation, but we will try. To enjoy.
I know.
But we try to enjoy. We try to entertain ourselves and everybody else.
I've also got to ask, because one of the number one things when this was announced from people maybe who aren't in the paddock but follow the sport is like, is this the Pitbull one? Is this Pitbull? Is Pitbull involved in this? How many times have you been asked about that? Or internally, is that just something new?
Not so much, but,
really?
But yeah, he's involved. He's a co-owner. And of course, he's one of the best ambassadors for Trackhouse. He was actually, he was in Daytona for the first race, really close to the team and viewing everything. So of course, he attends when he can. But yes, he's a great part of the Trackhouse. Yes, for sure.
It made me laugh. The reputation proceeds immediately. So I think we've got two more fan questions for you now.
Okay.
So I don't want to take up too much of your very first day. Well, I guess you're probably here yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah.
But we've got two more fan questions then. The first one from W. Daniel San. I hope I'm saying this right. No pressure, but what are your predictions on how well Trackhouse will perform this season? So do you have any targets in mind that you would share?
I don't have prediction, or I never thought about, or not yet, about like target in term of top X or be like this. I think what is important this year for us is to learn, to go into the process to improve everything into the team organization and everything. But of course, we know that our rider has their expectation, and I think our riders have the potential to be at the top, to get a great result, and we have to try to support this. But we don't have a target, or I don't have in mind like I will be happy if we are top. I will be happy if we continue to progress, if we make our riders able to fight for the top position, arrive at the circuit thinking that we can be good. We can have a good race, and also I would like to see the team improving step by step. Our cooperation with Aprilia improving, our team operation improving to be better and better. So that is the most important for this year. And then we see. And then the results, they should be a consequence of that, but without having any number in mind. Just
classic.
I would say. Improve and progressing all the time.
I feel like Miguel would either give that answer or he would say, I'm going to win 21 sprints and 21 Grand Prix.
Yeah,
because
but
we
no,
love
but
that.
I'm sure that the riders has their own, they want to be that position, they want to win races, they want to do like this, and that's the way it should be. But from our team, we want to, I would say, yeah, progress and improve time to time.
There's one other thing I've just realised you've not experienced yet in MotoGP, and that is our Tissot Sprint. What do you think about that new race on Saturday? That's quite different.
Yeah, everybody says that the weekend is very stressful for the people, for the riders, for the people working. So that's one thing. But okay, if the sprint race it looks like they've been quite successful last year. Of course, it's a big stress. I understand because. To race on Saturday, to race on Sunday for the riders, for everybody. And so they working. It seems like they work well. So let's keep going and maybe see if what can be improved also from this point of view, if there is any way to improve. Of course, that's a lot of races. It's a lot of stress, a lot of races. But okay, let's do what works and what give fun to the people.
It's 21 more chances to get a trophy there, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The very final fan question, which I'm sure you're probably not going to answer, is from Imi Tintz. I'm not sure if you're German or that's completely wrong pronounced, sorry. Who will be world champion this year? Have you got any predictions? I don't know if you're contractually obligated to not say
No, but honestly, I mean, the positive things is that it's so difficult to predict. And this is because the MotoGP now is really, I'm not saying things that normally you say is very competitive, but it's true. I mean, of course, Pecco is starting as two-time world champion, is of course the favorite. I mean, is the rider that everybody wants to beat. But you saw like how last year has finished. No, they arrive until the end with Jorge, and this year it could be also somebody else. Of course, the Ducati, let's say Ducati fight, Ducati internal fight, but also you got Aprilia, which is, I mean, wants to be the challenger. I think also KTM. Then in the meantime, we have to wait how the Japanese manufacturer will improve, because for sure they will. So it's very difficult. You might have also different phases into the championship. Maybe looks like from the testing, looks like Ducati is ready to start. Probably the other one, maybe they need to get more prepared. But then you can have a second half of the season, maybe different. So it's, I don't know who will be what champion, but I know that will be very interesting.
That's it. I mean, that's a great quote, if nothing else. Right, okay. Thank you so much, Davide, for joining us on this
episode
of the year. Best of luck for you within Trackhouse and also to the entire new Trackhouse outfit. It's great to have them in MotoGP. And
thank you.
I think that's all for now. Thanks, everyone, for watching or listening.
And let's enjoy the championship.
Exactly.
Let's enjoy the year.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Bye. Bye-bye.